Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
The head of the EPA takes a shot at Colstrip. Yeah, the same coal-fired power plant that the Biden administration is trying to shut down with a whole new round of regulations that they recently announced. But yeah, apparently the head of the EPA claimed that Colstrip and the Colstrip power plant is, quote, cheating the system. Anyway, forceful response from Montana Senator Steve Daines, Congressman Ryan Zinke, Congressman Matt Rosendale, and others. Want to get to that at some point here on the show today. Plus, Donald Trump Jr., I hadn't even seen or heard about this. Apparently, Donald Trump Jr. was chatting with and met with the godson of Senator John Tester. And the godson of Senator John Tester said, oh, no, you have my permission to share this story. Wow. Very interesting stuff. So I'll try to get to that one for you here this morning on the show. We're going to get your phone calls and more. But first up, I've got a caller who's going to call in here in just a couple of minutes. Jocelyn Galt Cahill. She's got the Avalanche Ranch, and she's going to be joining us on the show here. So yesterday at about, it was probably about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I posted a story on our Montana Talks website. Here's the headline. Land Board urged to consider Montana water rights case. Do you guys remember this? This was probably a couple weeks ago or so. We got a phone call. It was an open phones show. And like usual, we get great callers. We get some great information just by opening up the phone lines. And Representative Alan Redfield called in from Montana's Paradise Valley. And, you know, Representative Redfield said, hey, Aaron, I want to let your listeners know we've got an important water rights issue going on here in the state of Montana. And I thought he broke it down very simply for us. If a farmer or a rancher out there uses their private water rights to improve the state lands that they are leasing, well, the state, the DNRC, shouldn't get to now come in and take over your water, take your water rights from you, just because you temporarily used your water on state land to improve the state land. Why would any rancher ever want to improve state land ever again if you think that they're going to take away your water rights from you? Anyway, so literally I posted this story because now, of course, Attorney General Austin Knutson and others, including a group called the Senior Ag Water Rights Alliance, they're now calling on the State Land Board to take action at their upcoming May meeting. It's already May 1st. Regarding this private water rights case. No joke, I posted that story 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and then at 3:21, the Montana Supreme Court released an opinion on a related court case. We'll break it all down with Jocelyn Galt Cahill from the Avalanche Ranch, and she's also with the SAWRA. She'll be with us right after this to kick things off.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so about 3:21 yesterday afternoon, the synopsis of the case was released by the Montana Supreme Court. The case basically Shooter versus the State of Montana Board of Land Commissioners. We'll get to that court case here in a second. But first, let's talk big picture. Great to have Jocelyn Galt Cahill on the phone lines with us right now from the Avalanche Ranch. And then she's also part of a group called the Senior Ag Water Rights Alliance. Jocelyn, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hi, Aaron. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. So I posted this story yesterday afternoon, Attorney General Austin Knutson calling on the State Land Board to take action at their upcoming May meeting on a private water rights case impacting farmers and ranchers. I know there's a few organizations now that are calling for that action to take place as well. How would you describe this and break it down for our listeners across the state?
Yeah, so we're very grateful that Attorney General Austin Knutson has stepped up and made this motion to the land board. He's basically asking that the DNRC stop claiming water rights from private landowners. You know, right now, if I'm a private landowner and I am leasing ground from the state and I divert my own water onto that state lease, DNRC is coming in instances and claiming that they own part of my water right now. This is a huge issue for ranchers and farmers. Ranchers and farmers are not willing to gamble with their water rights. I worry that that farmers and ranchers are going to stop using these state leases because of how serious the ramifications are of this are. And so we're very supportive, and we really hope that others can reach out to land board members and let them know to support Austin Knutson's motion and to get this handled in the May land board meeting. We don't need to keep questioning if our water rights are going to be taken away from us or not.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard it, but it was a couple of weeks ago or so. I had a caller on the phone lines. It was Alan in Paradise Valley. And then I quickly realized, oh, that's Representative Alan Redfield calling in, a rancher in the Paradise Valley. And he broke it down simply to where even a guy like me could understand it. And my takeaway from it was, okay, we should want to encourage better land management, better habitat on state lands. Why would we discourage farmers and ranchers from using their own water rights to basically help improve state lands? Because if they think that by using their water on state lands is going to then jeopardize their water rights altogether, if the state could come in and then take over those water rights, why would they ever work to improve state lands, right?
Exactly. And as farmers and ranchers, one thing that is known about us is that we want to be stewards of the land. We want to make the land better. And to be faced with this decision of making land better or getting your water right taken away, it's going to be a really hard decision for farmers and ranchers. This happened to my family in Martinsdale, where we saw no choice. Once the DNRC came in and tried to claim part of our water, we pulled our infrastructure for that, where we were diverting the water, and pulled it back to our own private property. That's not what we want to do. We want to make the land better. We want to use our water to make this state piece better. But they're putting us in a really hard position to have to make these decisions.
I listened to your testimony at the last land board meeting where you were urging them to take action at the next meeting, which is coming up here pretty soon since it's already May 1st. And you also kind of listed a whole bunch of other ranch families that are joining you in this effort as well.
Yeah, and that list has only grown since that land board meeting. I mean, farmers and ranchers care about this issue, and they want to see it stopped. And the land board has the ability to stop this delegation of authority that DNRC is asserting. Representative Redfield's bill, House Bill 286, was a great start. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like DNRC has fully implemented the bill to what Representative Redfield had intended for it to be. And this Supreme Court ruling that came out yesterday actually is going to even pull back House Bill 286 even further.
Yeah. So, well, since you mentioned it, let's jump into this case. So I read the synopsis of the case that was posted on the Montana Supreme Court's website. And I know the clerk, Bowen Greenwood, has been doing a great job trying to get information out to the public in a timely manner. So hats off to Bowen Greenwood for doing that. But I read this. This is it Shooter versus the State of Montana Board of Land Commissioners, if I pronounced the last name right there. What did the court basically say from your standpoint?
So I'm going to preface, I'm not a lawyer. This has not been out very long.
Good for you.
We are still very, very much trying to wrap our arms around, you know, what this is. But I think the basis of it is the ramifications are going to be very serious to egg producers in Montana. And really, honestly, it should have never came to this. And it's just even further evidence that the land board needs to intervene and it needs to rein in the DNRC. One thing that came out that is quite clear is that what they have done with House Bill 286 is that they have basically made it so that House Bill 286 will not apply to senior water right holders. So it's not going to apply to those pre-1973 rights. The one thing that DNRC did do with House Bill 286 is it became illegal for DNRC to automatically change the water right in their system. with this ruling, it looks like there's a potential that DNRC now has the right, if you have a pre-1973 water right, to just go into their system and change the ownership back to them, or excuse me, over to them. And, you know, we're still very much trying to wrap our heads around what this is, but the moral of the story is that it's going to be very, very serious and probably detrimental to egg producers in Montana.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, Jocelyn, stand by if you can. Got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. We'll chat more with Jocelyn Galt Cahill from the Avalanche Ranch right after this. By the way, Jocelyn, I had some of your guys' steaks, the Wagyu steaks. They were incredible, by the way. I mean, when you talk about marbling in a steak, holy cow, were those things good. So stand by. We'll come back to you right after this quick break right here on Montana Talks.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I remember when Alan Redfield first called in about this topic, and I hadn't heard it. I didn't see the Attorney General's press release yet, so I hadn't heard about this whole court case yet. But just my initial reaction, it reminded me of when I was tagging along. I was tagging along with my father-in-law and a friend of his on a hunting trip. They had the tag, so I was just tagging along. but I remember, you know, it's like you can see it when you go hunting, right? You can see it. There's oftentimes it's broken down this way. Well, there's public land and then there's private land. On that hunting trip, I looked at it a different way. I didn't look at it as public land versus private land. I looked at it as managed land versus unmanaged land, or oftentimes with the federal government land, managed land versus mismanaged land, right? And so the point being here is that, okay, so now you have state lands and ranchers who've gotten leases on those state lands. They are using their own water to help improve that land, which helps wildlife, helps obviously the land, helps with fire protection. I mean, there's a number of different ways that water helps that land, right? So why would the state discourage people from improving wildlife habitat, from improving the land, from helping with fire protection? Why would they threaten your water rights if you're using your water to help improve the state lands on an even albeit temporary basis? So that's how even a guy like me who lives in town, who doesn't live out on the ranch, kind of sees this whole debate, right? Let's go back to it here with Jocelyn Galt Cahill. And we're talking about, I've got info from the Senior Ag Water Rights Alliance on our Montana Talks website right now. Jocelyn, so, you know, I read this synopsis of the case. So related to this whole debate here, the Montana Supreme Court 5-0 ruled against the shooters in this case here. And just doing a basic reading myself, again, I'm like you, I'm not a lawyer. But I guess when I read the Supreme Court's opinion here, but I also know not to trust the current majority on the Montana Supreme Court as well. And I also know that there's likely much more to this story. But if you were to just do a simple reading of their synopsis of the case, what they're saying is, well, you know, this family, they have, what, four different water rights here. One of the water rights was, they were granted those water rights because they were going to be using the water for state lands. So if they're no longer using that water for state lands, then they no longer get to keep those water rights. So if that's all this is, I guess their argument kind of makes sense, right? But as with anything with this current left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court, there's much more to the story, isn't there, Jocelyn?
Yeah, always. And, you know, I'll restate again, I'm not a lawyer. I've not had full time to completely read through this whole and wrap our heads around it. But I think that just from a farmer and a rancher's standpoint, I certainly can see where, you know, instances where when you read this, it kind of, you know, it kind of makes sense. But the fact of the matter is that there's instances much different than this where this is still happening, where somebody is using their private water right that was developed on their land. They're simply diverting it to the state lease, and DNRC is coming in and claiming the water right. It happened to my family. There are many, many others that it is happening to, and there's many that are very that will not divert water onto state pieces anymore because they are so concerned because they've seen it happen across the state. So I think that this ruling just sets a precedent for that. We don't know when they're going to stop. This is maybe just the beginning. How much further is DNRC going to go to keep claiming these water rights that are not theirs?
Yeah, no, that's very interesting. And to reiterate, because I asked you this question kind of during the break, too, since we had some extra time during that last break. So when you talked about your family ranch and how, look, you were about ready to start putting water on a particular state land lease, but knowing that they might take away your water rights, not only knowing that they might, they had already threatened you, right, that they would take away your water rights. You guys pulled out that infrastructure and didn't put the water on that land because of this clear threat. And that water right you already had, it wasn't a water right that was solely given to you with the knowledge that you would be using it for state land. This is water rights that you guys already had with no state land attached to it, and yet even still, they threatened to take your water rights away, right?
Yeah, and, you know, we're attempting to fight it, but the problem is, you know, farmers and ranchers have many better things to do with their lives than try to fight bureaucracy, especially in the court system. And so I fear that this is actually happening a lot more across the state than we even are aware of, because it's, you know, if farmers and ranchers are seeing this happen, you know, and they don't have the ability or the time to fight it, then DNRC is just claiming these rights and walking away with it.
Yeah. Hey, hold that thought. I mentioned Alan Redfield in Paradise Valley. He's now on the phone lines with us as well. Alan, thanks for calling back in. And first off, thanks for raising this topic with us initially during an open phone show.
Yeah, you're welcome, Aaron. The intention of the bill did not put it back to where, you know, post-73, it was for everything. And they have just run with the fact, and their lawyers looked at it and said, well, we can do this, because it didn't specify. And they're doing rulemaking that wasn't written necessarily to give them authority to do it. And the land board shouldn't have to come in and do anything, because if they were to follow the intention of the bill, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
This was the bill that you passed and the governor already signed into law, so we shouldn't need action from the land board is what you're saying, but if that's what it takes, let's get the land board to take some action.
Right. We need them to, because I brought it forth from a constituent out of Melville. I didn't know anything about the scutters and theirs, and that's been reset since the bill was passed. And I read through the whole thing last night, so then I didn't sleep worth a darn. because they're applying a ruling from the past that really doesn't necessarily fit it, but they figured out how to turn it around and make it happen. So I'm just pointing out, and the young lady you have on there with, she made all the good points for the ranching community. Why would you invest? And that piece of ground was a piece of dry land, farm ground that might have been able to raise some 30 bushel wheat. And by irrigating, you know, maybe it's 80 bushel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why would you do it? No, great point. Alan Redfield, thanks for calling back in. Jocelyn Galt Cahill, you know, when we say the state land board, for our listeners who aren't familiar with the intricacies of the state land board, the members of the state land board are your statewide elected officials: Governor Gianforte, Attorney General Austin Knutson, State Auditor Troy Downing, Secretary of State Christy Jacobson, and Superintendent of Public Instruction Elsie Arntzen, if I got them all right and I didn't forget one there. And so those are the folks that people can contact if they want to see some action on this, right?
Yep, absolutely. And we really urge people, they need to hear from Montanans. And I'll even take it beyond farmers and ranchers. What the state lease, losing state leases would impact would be the state school trust. That's going to impact our schools. It's going to take money away from them. If farmers and ranchers are not willing to do this and to risk their water rate, this is a statewide impact. It deeply impacts farmers and ranchers, but the ripple down effect will impact everybody in the state.
That's right, because the state trust lands benefit schools, and if people aren't using the state trust lands as much, then that money is not going into the schools. Speaking of schools, Jocelyn, if I can throw a curveball at you here, I know you're one of those rare folks in the ag community that went to the University of Montana instead of Montana State University. Did you hear some of these nut job left-wing pro-Hamas protesters are trying to shut down the campus today and cancel finals and more?
No.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Oh, man. So disappointing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they're not. I think President Bodnar has been keeping the silliness to a minimum, thankfully. So, and it didn't sound like they got too many protesters last weekend, so hopefully they don't get more today.
Yeah, seriously.
All right. Anything else you wanted to share with our listeners before we move into the open phones portion of the show?
No, just thank you so much for your time, Aaron, and for shedding light on this. And anybody that feels compelled, please reach out to those land board members and let them know that we want to support Austin Knutson's motion and we want to get this handled in May.
All right. Yeah, and of course, Austin Knutson has that family ranch background in northeast Montana as well. Okay, Jocelyn, appreciate your time. Thanks again for being with us. And thanks for the additional information. I know it's an important topic. All right. Let's see. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you guys hadn't heard about this, somebody by the name of John Hooks shared this via X yesterday. University of Montana students planning a protest today in solidarity with Palestine and student encampments across America. They're calling it the University of Montana Strike for Gaza May 1st. How sickening, how despicable is it that even one student would stand with these pro-Hamas sympathizers that are threatening, intimidating, harassing, and assaulting Jewish students on campuses elsewhere across the country? I mean, why would you want to even, stand with any of that instead of stand up and condemn what is taking place on these college campuses? It's just so shameful. All right, we can talk about that and much more. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. If you want to jump in on the conversation, if you got something you want to talk about here on Montana Talks. And then I'll play audio. Donald Trump Jr. spoke with John Tester's godson, and the godson says he's changed. He's not the same guy he was 25 years ago. Anyway, fascinating audio from Don Jr. coming up.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Ranchers here in Montana know all too well the impact that wolves had on livestock production, especially when they were listed on the Endangered Species Act and the state of Montana was unable to manage them. Well, after the citizens of Colorado voted to introduce wolves back into the state, ranchers in western Colorado are experiencing losses due to wolves. In Colorado Parks and Wildlife confirmed another wolf depredation in Grand County, all on the same ranch. Rancher Conway Farrell has lost those five yearlings in addition to other cattle due to his focus on trying to keep wolves out of his herd.
The damage that these things are doing, they have all these animals so stirred up and so distressed that we're having other problems and other issues. The other day when that happened, I spent 3 hours up here with the DOW the one day and had a calf die on the river because I wasn't down there providing our cattle the proper animal husbandry. 2 days later, I was up here I took the 2 o'clock till daylight shift with the DOW, the Parks and Wildlife. By me being up there, I wasn't providing proper animal husbandry to our cattle on the river, and I had a prolapse cow that died. So the amount of money that this is costing my family, it's just tenfold of what the actual damages are to the dead one.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife has refused to remove the wolves from the area as well. Again, something we know all too well about here in Montana. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Write that down, though, because I think the phone lines are filling up with another person ringing in right now, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app as well. Hey, I mentioned how the left-wing mob is going to try to do a protest in support of the pro-Hamas terrorists later today at the University of Montana campus. Let's see, on that front, by the way, why hasn't John Tester condemned, in a big way, what's going on these college campuses? Does he not want his campus-based volunteers at the University of Montana? Does he not want to offend them or something? Anyway, listen to this new ad that was just produced by the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
Death to America, threatening Jews, attacking police. Anti-Semitic mobs are taking over our universities. Students radicalized by the far left, acting like terrorists. Now Joe Biden and John Tester want you to pay off their student loans using your tax dollars to fund this mayhem? Tell John Tester, stop caving to the woke mobs and put America first.
All right, there you go. Yeah, that ad just released by the NRSC. Let's go into your phone calls here. Steve in Ballantyne next up. What's going on, Steve?
Morning, Aaron. Well, you just hit a jugular vein when you started speaking about states and these federal lands and state lands and BLM lands and stuff. You know, I'm speaking for a lot of us especially in the state of Montana, that we're sick and tired of the rich. I'm serious. I mean, we need to get some type of laws in there where they can allow the public to access these lands that get locked up because you can't access them other than from a public road or even low water. Okay. It gets old. You know, you can't, you know, I was raised here, loved to hunt and fish years and years ago when I was a kid. I could go anywhere out here in the Bull Mountains, anywhere. And these properties are getting landlocked, and they're not allowing the state needs to make a law to where it allows people to be able, allows them to allow access to our lands that we actually technically own. I mean, it gets kind of old.
Well, we get kind of squeezed on multiple fronts, don't we? And then on the federal level, yeah, they constantly shut down federal land access all in the name of, you know, that's why, like, I've heard some advertisements for this, Heritage Rivers, whatever, right? And you know what it is. It's these phony environmental groups that want to come in and pass some new nice-sounding designation, and then they use that to limit your rights, to limit your access, to shut down responsible forest health initiatives. I mean, you name it. They use some nice-sounding, fluffy-sounding designation to lock you out. It happens time and time again. And land access, I mean, that's why this U.S. Senate race is so important as well. Federal judges are the ones that are shutting down these timber projects, shutting down our timber mills. Who do you think puts these judges on the bench?
Right. I know. And, you know, I was raised farm ranch. I mean, I'm totally for the farmer and the rancher. I really am. I mean, that's how I was raised. But to sit there and to, you know, to buy up the property around us like they're doing up here at the Prairie Reserve, you know, they're buying everything up. And you imagine how many acres and acres that they're locking down and we can't touch no more?
Crazy. It's crazy. I hear you, Steve. Thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970. Next up, let's go to Representative Tanner Smith in Lakeside. Tanner, thanks for calling in.
Aaron, thanks for having me on. I would just like to inform and educate your great listeners that, you know, that this is why I'm running for governor, because Governor Greg Gianforte on day one could have dismissed that shutter case. You know, the governor is the CEO of the state, and he has purview over the DNRC, and I would have dismissed that on day one. The other issue is the governor is also chair of the land board, and Greg Gianforte has been reluctant to weigh in on this case, and I would have stood up for the farmers and ranchers and their water rights on day one in office. You know, this whole case should have been dismissed. What Greg is doing is getting political cover by our Supreme Court by putting the onus on them that our Supreme Court is bad. Well, it is bad, But this case should have never even gotten to the Supreme Court. This should have been dismissed on day one. And that's why I'm running for governor.
Well, and it seems to me like, yeah, there's kind of two topics here, right? There's this Supreme Court case, Shutter or Shooter or Scudder, I think was how Alan Redfield pronounced it. So I apologize. I may not have the accurate pronunciation myself. But either way,
yeah,
there's that case that the Supreme Court just ruled on. But to me, there's also this bigger issue, which is, hey, there's more issues than just this one case here, as Jocelyn Cahill just pointed out. And so, yeah, why not take this issue up at the next land board meeting and get all of our land board members on board with this? And yeah, maybe there's another viewpoint that we need to hear. And of course, we're always open to that. That's why we've got phone lines open. Or if there's somebody from DNRC, et cetera, that wants to join us, we're open to that. But yeah, it seems pretty simple to me that let's take action at the next land board meeting. But that's just me.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. Even you're waking up to what's going on. As the Redfield bill.
Oh, I've been woken up for a long time. I've been in this fight for a long time, brother.
Yeah, you're a good man. But these are all, this is why I'm running for governor, because these are things that it's so easy just to dismiss that case and stand up for our farmers, ranchers, and our ag community. Because this only gets worse.
Now, you say dismiss the case. The governor can't dismiss a court case, but the governor could. Are you just saying that you would just ignore it and try to move forward anyway?
No, the governor can't dismiss it because, you know, as governor, I'll be head of DNRC. I will direct them to dismiss this case because we're not going to set the precedent where your water rights can be taken.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
People need to realize that the governor is the CEO of all these cases. Same way with the Colstead case with the child in Glasgow. You know, you're CEO of the state, so let's dismiss these cases, nip it in the bud before it even gets to our liberal Supreme Court.
Just basically tell DNRC to stand down on this one.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
All right. Tanner Smith, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970. Next up, let's go to, we've got Brian in Billings. Brian, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
I'm a member of Magic City Fly Fishers, and we have a youth program that teaches students how to tie flies, and then we have a summer program that actually takes 15 students in a, and it immerses them in fly fishing and conservation and such. And in keeping with that, we have a fundraiser coming up tomorrow night on Thursday, May 2nd. And at the Babcock Theater at 6:30, and we will show a film that is fly fishing all over the world, and we've got rod raffles and all sorts of fun things to do to just get away from the way things are going right now. It's going to be a fun event.
Hey, very cool. Tell you what, Brian, if you can, I'll throw you back on hold. Send us an email. Or our producer, Travis, could check in with you here during the break as well. But get us more info. We'll share that with our friends on the radio stations in Billings so they can let all the Billings area listeners know about that, get that on their websites, et cetera. So, you can either email that info, aaron@montanatalks.com, or chat with Travis here during the break. Next up on the phone lines, and we've now got phone lines open for you as well. If the phone lines were full before and you wanted to call in, now's a great time to call in, 294-0970. Tom in Billings, what's on your mind this morning?
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Yeah, I was just talking to David Webb, and I kind of threw your name out there, so I gave you a plug.
Oh, okay. That the national talk show host? Was that the David Webb, the national?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. As a formal federal law enforcement officer, these protesters, they're not realizing what the ramifications are for their actions, as in, you know, Columbia, New York. If they start doing this in Montana, these are state-run schools. If they start doing what they were doing, and we find out that they were supplied by outside organizations, which they are, which constitutes RICO, these people are criminals. If they take over any property that is not public property, if they threaten, if they do anything like they've been doing all over the nation, okay, these ramifications, they're fighting, saying, okay, it's my First Amendment right. Well, yes, peaceful protest. But what you've done is you've broke the law. Now you've lost your Second Amendment right. Because if you think about it, you're a gun owner, I'm a gun owner. What does one of those lines on that gun farm, when you go to the gun store to buy another firearm, what does it say? You have clearly expressed that you are, I mean, I'm a Gulf War veteran. I know what Hamas is. You know what Hamas is. This cannot be tolerated.
And Joe Biden wants to bring Hamas in. He wants to bring Hamas in from Gaza. He wants to bring them in and call them refugees. We've already got enough pro-Hamas terrorists on American soil. Why are we going to bring in more of them, right, Tom? All right, another quick break here on Montana Talks. Time is flying by. Stand by.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, in the interest of time, because I want to get to as many callers as we can get to before we run out of time here, I won't play the full clip. I'll play part of this clip, and then I'll get the full video on our Montana Talks website here in a little bit. Donald Trump Jr., when he was in Missoula on Sunday, apparently he talked about a meeting that he had, a visit that he had with John Tester's godson. So Don Jr., he got permission to share this story, by the way. He got permission to share this story. This caught my eye. The DailyWire.com had the story here. Let's see, where did I put it? It was in front of me a little bit earlier. Anyway, Daily Wire has a story about how Donald Trump Jr. Met with, oh, here we go. Donald Trump Jr. reveals what John Tester's godson allegedly told him about the senator. Here you go.
And, you know, we were talking, it was like, you know, about John Tester. And he goes, you know, growing up, like, John Tester was, like, my godfather. It's like, what do you mean? It's like, no, like, if my parents died, like, he was taking me in under their wing. And I was like, wow, I didn't, I'm sorry. Like, what I'm about to do is a little bit awkward. I didn't realize he was my family. He's like, no, but it all changed. He said, very clear, I asked. I would never call someone out and have this conversation if I didn't ask. I was like, you sure? It's okay. Like, and he goes, yeah, because the problem is essentially, you know, he was the meat cutter, yada, 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 25 years ago. That's what he did, and that's who he was, and, you know, he did that stuff. And he was a school teacher. He goes, and then he went to D.C., and everything changed. So that Montana meat cutter became, I guess, the number one recipient of lobbyist dollars in all of Washington. Think about that. Doesn't strike me as the thing that a humble school teacher meat cutter from Montana would be the number one recipient of lobbyist dollars? The moderate votes 100% with the radical agenda of Joe Biden?
Yeah, anyway, that's part of what Donald Trump Jr. had to say. But, yeah, the godson he's referring to, I actually ran into him down in Vegas at UFC 300. Josh Smith is the co-founder of the Montana Knife Company, well-known, well-reputed business. But, yeah, apparently he is the godson of liberal Senator John Tester. And according to this story here that's reported by the DailyWire.com, Tester hasn't even visited with him in like 7 years, his own godson. All right, 294-0970. Next up on the phone lines, we've got John in the Bitterroot. John, good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, what's going on?
I want to talk about why we don't ever log our forests anymore. A sad story in the Bitterroot over here, they had an asphalt road, and they tore it out and put it back to gravel, and I stopped and talked to the road crew and asked them why, and they said, well, we don't have any revenue anymore since logging's all been shut down. We can't afford to maintain the roads. So they tore the gravel, I mean, tore the asphalt up and put gravel in. And I think that's going backwards. So it's like the revenue that this state used to produce by logging the forest is gone. And I just don't understand why we let everything go.
I do. If you want to hear, I do. I can tell you, you have one name, Judge Donald Malloy. And we can go back to Bill Clinton's roadless initiatives. This is another example. This is another example of our taxpayer dollars being used against us. Our taxpayer dollars being used against us. We've heard stories over the years where they use your taxpayer dollars, and then they come in and the federal government will use your money to tear out roads, to tear out existing roads, not to build roads, not to improve roads, to tear them out or to lock gates to trails so that you can't access them. That's what they do. It's their radical environmentalist agenda because they don't want you to have the ability to ever get back in there ever again.
And if they're not logging stuff in 40 years, all this dead growth and deadfall, I mean, when I go out hunting, some of these spots are just impossible to get through because there's 6 foot deep of deadfall. And it's like even the wildlife doesn't use it anymore because it's so bad. And it's like this is insane. We got all this money and revenue in our public forest, and we don't maintain it. Well, what's the purpose of Forest Service anymore?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought they were supposed to manage the forest.
They don't even call the forestry school anymore, do they? It's got a different different name to it now. John, thanks for the call. We are just about out of time. Let me sneak on one more caller here. Abby in Stevensville, we've got just about a minute or so to go here. What's on your mind?
Hey, Aaron, big fan of the show. I've just always been too nervous to call in, but I wanted to because I felt it was worth it this time. I met Tanner Smith at a Ravalli County event, and I just wanted to encourage Montanans to look into him. I know that Gianforte is a big name, but I'm going to be voting for Tanner. He's a dad of five. I have three kids myself, so I just wanted to put a plug in for him. I know he called in, and I just wanted to express my support for him.
All right. Well, Abby, thanks for calling in, and yeah, don't be nervous. Call in more often. It's easy,
thanks,
right?
Aaron. Have a good Yeah, thanks, Aaron. Have a good day.
Hey, thanks. You too. Appreciate the phone call. All right, let's see. I haven't even done a calendar recon. What do we got coming up tomorrow? Man, you never know what we got coming up on the show. Just like you never knew what we were going to have coming up for you today. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. Anybody can call in and be heard all across Montana. That's why we love taking your phone calls.